You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Wastewater data, new COVID cases, COVID hospitalization admissions are all down over the past 14 days across the Commonwealth. And that is good news. But COVID isn't gone. And for hospitals and healthcare systems, it's being joined by a number of other strains, from staffing shortages to tremendous pressure on the state's mental health care system, just to name a couple. Now, that means a big agenda for the new chair of the Massachusetts Health and Hospital Association, or MHA. They are a group of 70 Massachusetts hospitals that advocate and communicate with Beacon Hill and Capitol Hill. Christine Schuster is a nurse. She's run hospitals from Athol to Quincy, and in addition to being the new president or chair of MHA, is the president and CEO of Emerson Health. Joins us now to sort of lay out, wow, what an agenda. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here today to talk about something that's so important for every single person in the Commonwealth, and that's our healthcare system. At some point during everyone's lives, they're going to need to impact and access the healthcare system. So we need to be there for them and to be ready for them and to be there to serve. The challenges of COVID have made that so much more difficult for us. So the agenda of the Mass Hospital Association is to really work collaboratively amongst the hospitals and with our state and federal government to try to ensure that we can overcome some of the obstacles that COVID-19 has created for us.
So you are new to the role with MHA, but you also have run Emerson Health for a while, right? So pretend it's several months in, and now you've got to give a state of healthcare address the way the governor would give a state of the state or Mayor Wu might give a state of the city. We always listen for the state of the state. The Commonwealth is strong. If you had to give that about healthcare in the Commonwealth right now, would you say the state of the Commonwealth's healthcare is strong?
Clinically, you can't beat Massachusetts for healthcare expertise and quality. But in terms of the devastation the system has had over the past 3 years, it continues to be weakened by the infrastructure. And by that, I mean workforce. Workforce is by far our biggest challenge for so many reasons. We have had a decline in healthcare workers over the past few years. So, for example, people who may have worked an additional 3 to 5 years decided to retire early because they were afraid for their health. Perhaps they lived with someone who was immunosuppressed, or they had young children and they couldn't find care for them. So they decided to leave the workforce earlier. In addition, burnout is an issue for a number of our clinicians, you know, especially during the height of the COVID crisis. So as a result, our workforce has been weakened by this.
So I want to play a little sound of Iman Abu Zaid, CEO and co-founder of Incredible Health, speaking on a webinar with Boston Medical Center.
We are on track to be 1.1 million nurses short by the end of next year. The acute care nurse turnover, national average right now, is almost 19%. It has gone up over 2% over the last couple of years. So we're seeing unprecedented numbers, amounts in turnover. We're also seeing labor costs go up. So labor as a percentage of revenue right now is about 48% for publicly traded hospitals. And we're seeing wage increases happening, not just from temporary nurses, but also the permanent nurses. And then the average time to hire a permanent and specialized nurse right now in the U.S. on average is 89 days.
So that's one way, Christine Schuster, to size a shark about labor shortages and the pressure on labor. We wanted that one in particular because you are a nurse. What I want to understand underlying it all, when I hear you use the term, we have a problem with our infrastructure, right? Clinically, we're great. These are infrastructure problems. Normally, when I hear that, I think, okay, well, that means we've had disinvestment for 10, 20 years. These kinds of numbers, is it actually possible that just COVID did that? Or did we have a much bigger systemic problem that is now coming home to roost faster and worse because of COVID?
Excellent point. There has been a crumbling of the education system, especially for nurses, over the past several decades. And by that, I mean, even here at Boston University, where I went to the School of Nursing, it no longer exists. So we had schools of nursing closed because of the expense it takes to actually train nurses, smaller size classes, and so forth. We actually have a lack of instructors. So we have a number of people who would like to enter the profession of nursing. We don't have enough schools of nursing, and we certainly don't have enough instructors to train them. So that was all brewing. Lay a crisis with we have with COVID on top of that and the pandemic and all that it's brought down on us, and you have a perfect storm for where we are today.
So that raises an interesting point. And I'll note, you talked about BU, so I'll just note BU holds the license here on WBUR. Okay, so the kinds of challenges that you're talking about, we can't fix in a year, right? You can't rebuild a nursing school in a year. You can't, and it takes years to educate a nurse to enter into the workforce. But we just heard 1.1 million nurses short by the end of next year. That feels like a math problem you can't solve. So what do we do?
So we have to have a collaboration and a partnership between government and the hospital systems to be able to do that. So I applaud our Governor Healey for the action she's taken and the budget she's proposed that will allow people to go back to school, community colleges. You know, if you're over 25, it's tuition free, and also a break in our college system for those entering college, because that's going to help. I think for the over 25 crowd, if you're looking for purpose, if you're looking for joy in your work, if you're looking to make a difference, becoming a technician or starting down the path of becoming an LPN or an RN, that will go a great way to helping to increase the numbers in the workforce. In many of our hospitals, we're doing what I call grow your own programs. So we're actually bringing staff in, educating them on certain specialties, the OR, the emergency department.
You mean non-nursing staff?
Nope, nursing staff,
okay.
Say new graduates.
Okay.
And helping to train them for certain specialty areas where we have acute shortages.
Where you might be particularly short.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So it's a combination of solutions that are going to help us to get through this crisis, and it won't be solved in a year.
So Christine Schuster is the new chair of the Massachusetts Health and Hospital Association, really taking over leadership, you know, at a really challenging time for the healthcare system in Massachusetts. One of the things that I noted is this is a one-year position, being chair of the MHA. Now, you are at Emerson Health. That is a role that will continue. But in taking this on, I have to assume that you must have thought, okay, in 1 year, there is something I can really get done. It's X. Am I right? And if so, what is X?
The beauty of healthcare in Massachusetts, and I've been involved in it for over 30 years, 24 years as a leader, is the collaboration amongst the leadership, and especially over the last 3 years. So while I happen to sit in the seat this year, before me, after me, I have incredible colleagues with the same vision, the same mission, and the same passion to continue this work. We're also very blessed, and I think yesterday, the new Secretary of Health and Human Services for Massachusetts is Kate Walsh. Kate is a longtime advocate for our patients and will be highly valuable to helping have that bridge between the hospitals and the government, our local government. And I know Attorney General Healey, now the governor, is for a long time been very concerned about our hospital system. And I know together that we will be able to find a solution for this over the coming years.
That optimism really is encouraging. At the same time, if there are 70 hospitals that are working together in collaboration this year, as a consumer of healthcare, I want to know there's a goal, right? What are you going to try to do this year? What are you going to try? What is, or if you want to frame it differently, what's the opportunity this year?
The opportunity for us is just what's happening, to try to develop programs where we can increase our staff, to find federal and state funding that are going to help us to grow the workforce, to find help from insurers to help us do things like, and I applaud Blue Cross for helping us with telehealth. So a telehealth visit, now they've helped us with reimbursement for that. So we'll be reimbursed at the same level as an inpatient visit. That those kind of things help us to continue to deliver care in an innovative way so that our patients can have access to it. Not everything has to be an in-person visit. You're able to get a lot more done in the day with the telehealth visits.
You just mentioned Kate Walsh, who left Boston Medical Center, new head of Health and Human Services. I've known for a few days we were going to talk to you today. My ears perked up earlier this week when the news came out that Mary Lou Sutters, who was the last head of the Executive Office of Health and Human Services in the Baker administration, just joined a Boston lobbying firm called Smith, Costello & Crawford. Mass Health and Hospital Association, MHA, that you chair, is one of their clients. She's a senior policy advisor there now. What becomes possible for the 70 hospitals in your network if somebody who was the head of EOHHS is now lobbying on Beacon Hill?
I can't say enough for Secretary Suttis and the relationship we've had with her through the COVID crisis. If it wasn't for her coming to the table with her wonderful team, I don't think we would have gotten through the crisis in the very smooth manner that we did. It was a real collaboration that took time to work out, but we couldn't have had a better advocate on so many different levels. She talked with everyone from the local hospitals, the legislature, to meetings at the White House to get us what we needed to get through the day. I have every confidence in her now. If there's one person that can help us to continue to bridge the gap and to move forward, it's former Secretary Suttis.
When we talked with you in late February, sort of in advance of this conversation, you said, I think it was February 23rd, you said that it was the first time since March 16th, 2020, that Emerson Hospital had zero COVID patients and zero staff out because of COVID. Is that still the case today?
I think we have two out today. So yes, the numbers are very small. And we're not so much dealing with acute COVID flare-ups now. We're dealing with the aftermath of COVID, the lack of staff, the increase in infrastructure costs, supplies cost more, drugs cost more, construction costs are more. So all labor costs are more. In fact, that's the single biggest reason that most hospitals are having a negative margin today. So if there's one thing that we have to attack, it's that. At the same time, there's more people using the system, especially in the area of mental health. Today, I think we have 861 people waiting for beds, behavioral health beds, both adult and pediatric in Massachusetts. We have enough beds. We don't have enough staffed beds, which goes right back to where we started. Fixing the workforce issues together is the single most important thing to helping us to get our healthcare system back on track.
So is it fair to say that Christine Schuster, chair of Massachusetts Health and Hospital Alliance, is saying staffing, staffing, staffing?
And more staffing.
And
yes.
More staffing. All right. Christine Schuster, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck with your work over the next year.
Thank you for having me.
There is more ahead. I'm Tisiana Deering, and you are listening to Radio Boston.